You have questions, we have answers. This is Jay Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, all about real estate with Ken and Jane. And Jane, I have to say to start with, we have to give a big round of applause to the Fox.
Yeah!
They finally got the 93.5 FM posters up, so they did a great job. Great job to Mike and all the production crew.
Yes, thank you. Thank
good.
You.
By the way, our picture is still in production, so we'll be up there shortly, Lisa.
You got to wait for a long time, Ken.
Yeah, maybe a couple of years.
I would say a couple of decades if you're lucky enough.
Right, there you go.
As your wife, it's my job to put you in your reality.
At least you can dream about it.
Right? That's right. Yes.
All right. So last show, let's get back to the real estate. So last show, we spoke about the home inspection process, you know, what the sellers expect, what happens on home inspection day in terms of, you know, what the seller should and shouldn't do. We got to the part where they've done the home inspection and we kind of started talking about the report, you know, that you can expect to get a lengthy home inspection report. And then that'll be sent to the seller attorney and the seller agent along with the home inspection repair letter.
Yeah.
And
a lot of, sorry to interrupt, Ken. A lot of question I have from the seller is how long before they get a report. Typically, report take 3 to 5 business days. It really depends how busy the inspector is, because normally these days the inspector try to pack as many inspection as possible and later on write a report. So also after they send a report to the buyer would have to take the time to read it, to digest it, and to discuss with the buyer attorney, sometimes with the buyer agent. So the process would take generally at least 3 to 5 days. Having said that, once they finish the home inspection, the read-on tester typically picked up after between 3 to 5 days after that. So that's add a few more days. But most lawyer wouldn't wait for the read-on test to come in. They would just send a report and a request, and having a one line there said read-on report coming soon. So kind of,
right.
Leave that open.
And I think one of the things to really quantify is that as a list agent, you should always tell the sellers to read the repair request letter, because unfortunately, sometimes the sellers get confused and they'll read the report first and then they'll be overwhelmed saying, oh my God, there's so many findings in the inspection report. But as we covered on previous shows, you have to take it with a grain of salt, because the home inspection report, again, the inspectors are going to document everything, you know, that can go wrong with the house, including upgrades and things that are not even on the table in terms of requests. So always start by looking at the repair request. What is the buyer asking the seller to address? The home inspection report, if you want to read it for background or if you have trouble sleeping at night, you can read it. But
Ken. If you read it, most of my sellers will lose more sleep. No. That's not me. Yeah.
Right.
But truth to be told is I would highly recommend the seller to read the request first. And if the point you're not so clear, and then go back to the report as a references instead of read the entire report. But I do have a client, you know, just like to read and just go through the whole report. But once again, the report is observations the inspector had on the inspection day. He or she will documented everything they saw. So once again, nobody home's perfect. So it's really the most useful is to read the request and also understand the request. Sometimes, you know, if you're not sure, check with your lawyer, check with your agent, and sometimes we have to check with the other side if it's the language can be misunderstood. So we have to make sure we're on the same page. Majority of the time it's self-explanatory, but sometimes there's technical term or something, people may have a different understanding. So always try make sure both sides on the same page on the request of the inspection.
Yeah. Right. And having said that, it's also this, we have to remind the sellers not to get emotionally upset or angry, because a lot of times sellers take a lot of pride in their home and they think, oh, they feel insulted or hurt that the repair requests are asking for X, Y, and Z. But that's where the job of, I think, a good list agent comes in, and you have to really look at it from a third party and a neutral observation and say, really help the sellers to decipher what's real and what's not real in terms of what, you know, what's reasonable, what's not reasonable.
Exactly. This is not right or wrong answer here. Most item is in gray area. Certainly in the seller market, maybe the seller don't have to do as much as in the low market, the buyer market. But having said that, the keep your emotion checked, you know, that's very, very important for both parties. Sometimes a lot of buyer, first-time home buyer can, and they get easily worried and scared, right? And for just like a very simple example, may not be perfect, but I think share the same trait, right? Like if someone going to the hospital emergency room, like me, remember when Maria was young, anytime she's sick, I rush her to St. Right. Peter's.
Of course, as a lot of people do, because a child, when they can't speak, you know, they have trouble breathing or something, I think it's the norm, you take them to the emergency room because you just want to be safe rather than sorry.
That's right. So. And then what the doctor used to say, they already know me by my first name. They said, please, Mrs. Mueller, don't come to the emergency.
And it's worse if you have one child. You're always, like they say, with the bottles and with everything, with the first child, you boil them, you triple wash them. By the time you get to the second child, maybe you boil them. By the time you have the third, the fourth
you
one,
just
you're, lucky,
wash it.
You're lucky if you rinse them.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the same thing when you're over attentive to that very first one.
Yeah, because you're nervous, right? Like the first-time home buyers, you're nervous. We get that. So sometimes, and even with the seller, right, a lot of our client, they live in the same house for 20, 30, 40 years. For them, it's stressful. You know, when they get last thing they knew, it's a big report. So they get very, very emotionally drained.
Right. So we should really say that there's emotions on both levels. Both the sellers and the buyers have emotions. And that's really a job of that's where the agents come in, because a part of the agent's job in the process is to basically calm the nerves of their buyers and sellers and work together as the liaison to find the common bridge.
Common ground to keep
the deal going forward.
Yeah, just like I said a minute ago about the hospital, right? We rushed in and we think it's a big deal. Oh my God, we just this is what happened to our child. But the doctor looked at her and said, yeah, no problem. Just go home. It's a diarrhea. 24 hours, they'll be okay. So same here, right? A lot of time for what the seller saw, first of all, this home pride. And secondly, really worried whether the deal going to go through. And the buyer, the same thing. They worry about whether they're buying a house is right decision, and there's so much problem, and later on what are you going to do? But for the professional, like a seller and buyer agent, we see these kind of common problems, very common, right? So it's not as bad as it is. So once again, keep your emotion. I know it's hard, it's almost impossible, but keep your emotion leveled.
All right. So let's talk about then what the response. How does the seller, when they get the list from the buyer attorney, typically I think the agent, I mean, it all depends on the relationship of the parties, but typically the seller agent and the seller will confer. The seller attorney usually defers to the seller and the agent.
All three of them.
All
I mean, it really depends, right? It really depends on case by case. Seller, like our client, always talk to us and then the attorney. Some may just prefer talk to the attorney and then check with the agent. And it's just the seller's preference. But I would highly recommend it. Seller, talk to both your agent, because you hire your listing agent represent you selling your home must be a reason. You must be confident in his and her ability and the skill. So please utilize that. And as well as the attorney, please discuss with them and to find, a lot of thing is really common practice, right? So say, for example, if it's termite, you know, the common practice, you have to trade it in order for buyer get a mortgage, right? So if you check with your attorney and the agent, I would say at least a half or two third of the item would be, sort of like have a solution or or seller have a good idea, what are you going to do about it?
Right. And of course, it depends on the terms of the agreement, but, you know, the contract of sale, you know, what's agreed for the home, the scope of the home inspection. But assuming that the home inspection is for structural and major defects, if you have issues with roof leaks, basement, water infiltration, termites, as you said, radon, mold, those are issues that the realtor will probably advise you that either you address them now or you address them later, because those are repeat issues that aren't going to go away magically. So if this deal, if the current transaction dies, likelihood is that the next home inspection will uncover the same issues. So if you keep repeating the same thing, and that unfortunately that's happened with some sellers, they repeat the same set of events with the hoping that the result is different. And that's kind of, I think, you know, then that's like the definition of insanity.
Yeah. Because, but sometimes, you know, I understand, you know, from the seller perspective, right? Remember we had a home a few years ago, the owner, the roof is really old. And then we understand if the roof doesn't leak, obviously it's not the seller's job to give you a brand new roof, right? You made an offer based on the condition that's a seller disclosure for. And you know it's older roof, visually you can see it, and seller disclosure definitely say roughly the age of that. So that's a part of the understanding. That's what seller's understanding. However, during the home inspection, they found a mold in the attic. And obviously, I advise seller, regardless what, we have to treat the mold. And I mean, one of the funding was our own contractor. It's not only the buyer. Once again, it's difference between buyer perspective and the seller perspective. This case is our own contractor recommended to replace the roof. The reason was, it's not because the roof is old, because the roof caused the leak from time to time. If that leaking happened, that's potential risk to get a mold again. So long story short, the seller disagrees, so we just treat the mold. And the buyer obviously canceled the contract, and then we put the house back on the market. Just happily, there was a lot of heavy rain during that period of time. And sure enough, the mold came back. And the second time, we sold it, and then we under contract and home inspection again. So after the second time, the owner finally reached a conclusion. It's not because it's old, we have to give them a new one, absolutely not. But because that's the cause of the mold. You can't just treat the symptom. You have to treat the cause. That's why.
Right. And having said that, Jane, any reputable mold contractor won't give a warranty,
yes,
unless the source of the mold is treated. So you have to eliminate the water source, which could be a roof leak in your example. Otherwise, they're not going to warranty the work. So
they repaired it. They just patched up the leak that time. There was no leaking. But because roof was so old, and after that, it was like 5-10 days period, I have many, many heavy rains. So the other places leaked. So it wasn't the same spot. But once again, because the roof is to the last straw, right? So that's why at the end, after second deal fell through, we replaced the roof and treat mold again. And we successfully closed the third time. And third time is the charm, right? So
right.
Third time.
That's right.
Yes.
So I think with the major defects, when again, you consult with the seller's agent, the realtor. And then you basically, the strategy is, once you agree what are alleged to be major defects, you want to bring in the contractor. So that's something your realtor, your agent has experience with, and they can help the seller to bring in reputable contractors who will give you an evaluation, you know, whether it is or is not a problem. And then once you have the contractor evaluation, then you can make a decision of what you want to address and what's legitimate and what's not legitimate.
And once again, a lot of the request item just based on the home inspector's observation. And they may be a problem, they may not be. There's a cases we had with a home that had a vertical crack. At the end, you know, obviously on the report, the buyer was very nervous. And at that point, we brought in engineer. And the engineer said it's not really a big deal, so you can just have a contractor fill the crack. There wasn't, because vertical, there was small enough. There's really definitely no structure foundation problem. But that buyer backed out. But once we have it repaired, we put back on the market. We had the engineer report, all the receipt, everything, and disclose up front. Once again, disclose up front is the key, because you want to be honest. You want to make sure the buyer aware and there's no issue. You have nothing to hide. Here's all the report. You can get your engineer to check if you want it. But that case wasn't really a huge issue. Yeah.
Right. The seller was proactive, took care of it, and had the reports for display so that it gave the buyer a comfort level and they still could do their own independent evaluation.
Yes.
All right. Why don't we take a short break and we'll be right back.
A state-of-the-art building, approximately 3,000 square feet with a backup generator and plenty of parking, is available for lease. Located on the main thoroughfare in Hamilton Township, the building is zoned highway commercial and is suitable for retail, medical, office, education, and much more. To find out more and see if it fits your business and your needs, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. A two-story building, approximately 5,100 square feet with private offices and open spaces located in prime downtown New Brunswick, is available for lease. Yes, come on down and take a look. The building is zoned community commercial and has many permitted uses, including office, art gallery, theater, and music studio. To learn more about this property and more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. Attention to developers and contractors. Over 3 acres of land located at the heart of East Brunswick is up for sale. Great location and lots of potential. For further details, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. You are listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, welcome back. I should say, Jane, for the viewers out there, if anyone wants to see any of our shows, they're all recorded. They can go to YouTube, type in Jane Sells Jersey, and that'll bring up the YouTube channel, which will have all the prior episodes. We had one episode covering the home inspection from the technical aspect where we interviewed a home inspector, licensed engineer, Bharat Patel. So viewers and listeners want to find out more about the technical aspect of the home inspection, they can check out that episode and any of our other prior episodes covering home inspection, mortgages, title, and I lost track. We have so many different things.
If you're not familiar how to look up from YouTube, like myself, I just learned, to be honest with you, you can just go on our website, www.janesellsjersey.com.
Very good.
www.janesellsjersey.com. When you go on the website, there's a tab for the videos, so we'll lead you to there. That make it maybe easier for you to find it. Yes.
And certainly, we welcome listeners' comments and feedback for future topics. If anyone has anything they'd like us to cover in a future show, send us an email to allaboutrealestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com. Again, that's all about real estate with Ken and Jane at gmail.com. Or they can give you a call. Give us
a call.
You know
what? Call me on my cell phone, 732-322-2908. 732-322-2908. We'd love to hear from you about the feedback and what you like to cover, what you like about it, what you dislike about it. So that's definitely going to help us continually to improve our show to service you.
All right, very good. So, like we've spoke now at the home inspection, we're at the stage the seller basically has their buyer's request. They've gone over with their agent, their attorney. They brought in contractors to validate or dispute some of the findings. And what would be the next step in the process?
Sorry to interrupt. The next process is your attorney have to write back to the buyer attorney to say what you agree to address, what you don't agree, because seller don't have to agree with everything. And you can pick and choose which one you think is the most important items. Once again, most buyer, when they ask things, they understand they may not get everything. So that's don't feel, this is not the end of it. The seller can write back and say what they agree, what disagree, is just start a communication negotiation. So the buyer, if they disagree, the buyer, if they're still interested in the property, obviously, they're going to come back and say, no, I further negotiate. So when the seller attorney sent back the response to the home inspection items, right, the seller can offer repair or give a credit or beat up both. Because sometimes, say, if the house has a mold, most likely the buyer want to make sure the seller take care of it, have a transferable warranty before they move in. But other items, maybe they want to do it after they move in. So that's all up to negotiation. But one thing to the seller, very important, my experience is, when your lawyer write it back in the letter, specify who's going to do it. For example, right, changing GFI. Typically, the buyer attorney calling for licensed electrician. But a lot of time, the seller either say, I can do myself, or my contractor can take that simple task. But in the letter, you have to specify. If you do yourself, which we don't recommend, because the buyer may not trust the seller does themselves, unless you're an electrician or you're a contractor by trade, right? And if you do say, seller do it itself, in the letter has to spell out, seller will do repair, you know, themselves. So in that case, I would recommend you to keep the receipt for the material, either you get from Home Depot, Lowe's, or the plumbing supply. So keep the receipt. But generally speaking, we highly recommend the third party licensed contractor or licensed electrician, plumber, or this HVAC.
I think the issue comes a lot. Oftentimes, the buyer attorney will write back for the plumbing. They want a licensed plumber. For the electrical, they want a licensed electrician. And then other for the general construction, they want a licensed contractor. Oftentimes, the seller attorney and the seller will prefer to have their a licensed contractor perhaps handling some of the plumbing and some of the electrical if they're not really considered big deal items, because it's more efficient and it's a little bit cheaper, to be honest.
Yeah, change the faucet, for example. You know, just a small simple items. So the diverter doesn't work, kind of thing. So sometimes the typically seller will like to use the contractor / handyman to do. Regardless who does it, make sure the letter spelled out so that there's no misunderstanding at the closing or the final walkthrough, you know, who performed the work, the receipt and the warranty and everything like that, right?
And a lot of times what the sellers say, is it better to do the work or do the repairs and give them the paid in full repair receipts, or do I just offer them a credit because we don't want to be bothered with it? And that really depends.
Depends on the buyer. Some buyer will prefer a credit. Say, for example, if there's a leaking faucet in the bathroom, just happen the buyer have an intention to totally renovate it. So obviously, the credit work out better. Say, for example, if there's a crack on the tile in the kitchen and the bathroom, once again, if the buyer intention is to do the renovation, so obviously credit will be much better. And the other cases is like the personal preference, you know. And say, for example, even HSVC, for example, if it's deemed to be need to be replaced, the owner really just need to give you a workable HSVC. But for some buyer, they may have a preference in the brand. Right. I mean, just as far as the roof, the same thing, right? Roof can be 20-year warranty, right. Can be 50-year warranty, can be different color, three dimension. So that's all come to the seller and buyer's preference negotiation. So that's a case by case credit versus, the repairs. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, let's say if there's an issue where we had this situation happen very recently, where the seller gave a proposal to address certain plumbing, electrical, general contractor repairs, and the buyer attorney wrote back saying, "Well, if the seller has their contractors do it, we request a second inspection to come back and check those repairs." Want to explain the risk involved to the seller in that approach?
Yeah, first of all, I mean that's really, from the seller perspective, there's a big risk, right? First of all, that's the seller themselves is not a professional electrician, plumber. In good faith, they hire the licensed people. They paying their cost for the repair. And then if the buyer didn't trust it. They said, I want to have my own inspector come back to inspect, especially 2-3 days before closing. That's really put a seller in a big risk. At that time, how about if the buyer doesn't accept, right? So in that case, in my opinion, is create a big mistrust between seller and the buyer when buyer makes such request. To be honest, when I saw the letter, is both seller called me, they were very not comfortable. I have to agree with them. In our entire career, I really haven't, maybe once and twice, I really didn't have that. Generally speaking, they would take the licensed contract receipt as a good faith. After work is completed. Obviously, final walkthrough, you have a look, but once again, the buyer is not professional either.
Right.
You just have a look, make sure it's done. Is it somebody just not write a receipt? They did a repair. But you most of the cases, you just take the professional word. But in that case, if they really insist for the seller to do the work and later on they come professional to check it, at that time, my seller push it back and say, in that case, you take credit. We are not going to do
the
repair.
You take credit or you accept the paid in full repair receipts from the licensed plumbers, electricians to do the work. Because basically, by the buyer attorney doing that, they're trying to reopen or extend the home inspection contingency period. And as we've covered in previous shows, typically the home inspection contingency period is anywhere from 7 to 14 days. And within that period, the buyer has to have their inspectors do any and all inspections they want and follow-up inspections. But after that, that's it. Then the seller either addresses the repairs, doesn't address the repairs, they agree, they negotiate, and you move on. But by coming back for a second inspection, that's like kind of reopening the whole inspection contingency, which is not permitted by the contract.
Yeah, but once again, the seller attorney, seller agent has to be very much on the alert on that because in this case, there was just one line buried in the letter. So you really have to read it. Have a very, very good and thorough attorney. It's really important. I have normally the agent is secondary as soon as the contract is signed because the agent is a boot on the ground doing the coordinating work, but the lawyer is the person who is the final, make sure the legal side has been tied. Yes.
Absolutely. And then lastly, we've got to wrap it up then. If there's minor repairs, typically we're basically in this market, your seller's pretty much the advice is to address what are truly the major defects with roof leaks, basement water infiltration, the termites, radon. The minor stuff is more...
How do you define a minor and a major is just like Ken, when it is a lawyer, right? You go to court, the judge will say based on the common sense, right? Common people, what they believe. But if we say if the buyer reasonable, unreasonable, didn't agree, you put back on the market, what's the percentage? What more probably the next buyer will have the same issue.
Right, and some lawyers actually have taken the liberty in attorney review to define it. They don't like the term major minor because it's subjective. Major might be anything over $500 to me, but to you, major might be over $1,000. So sometimes lawyers agree that there's a general misperception of what's major, what's minor.
Yes.
So, okay, with that said, we're out of time, and we hope everyone enjoyed the show, and we'll see you next week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.